Some people play by the rules, but the real game changers break them. I'm Soraya, and on Rule Breakers, we're talking to the risk takers, the rebels, and the ones rewriting the playbook. Follow and listen to Rule Breakers with Soraya on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Doug is off today, but Steve Rapaski is here, Bee Control and Meadows Suite Apiaries. And again, if you have any questions for him about those things that buzz around your house and some gardening questions too, he can handle it. Plus, Luke Warner will be here shortly. We're going to be talking today with him. It's Davey Tree Talking Tree, so a busy hour. But once again, 866-391-1020 is the pathway to get all of your stuff answered as we are finally springing into the spring season. A little rain to give us some liquid nourishment and, more importantly, warm weather so you can get out and start digging in the dirt. So 866-391-1020 to talk to Steve. And if you're the 10th caller at 412-922-1020, you win a $25 gift certificate to Sorgles out in Wexford. So Sorgles is busy. Everyone's busy, including this guy. So, Steve, what can we do now before everything is in bloom to prevent dealing with maybe some of those big hornet nests and those yellow jackets? And we want to keep the honeybees, but there are those invaders that we do not want to reappear. Is there anything we can do to take some care as far as before the season is in full bloom? Good morning.
Oh, good morning, Rob. Yeah, we are certainly springing into spring and getting busy. And I want to take a step back first. And you talk about, you know, getting your hands dirty and whatnot. Doug and I have been fielding a lot of different emails about when to clean up the garden, when to clean up the yard, because we always talk about not cleaning up leaves and whatnot through the fall and winter to provide that habitat for those beneficial insects. And now's the time to do that. The weather's breaking and we can clean up the leaves and clean up the garden and move some of that old dead woody debris out of the way so that the fresh greens come up. But of course, with that, as you mentioned, we have to prepare for the spring and those nasty insects that come along with warmer weather come June and July. And you know, the an ounce of prevention is worth a pound of cure, you know, and that's what we are preaching now. Is we're in that prevention time frame, or we'll be entering that, where we need to be proactive, sealing up cracks and crevices around the house and making sure that we're not providing a home for those mean insects like your wasp, hornets, and yellow jackets. And that's kind of where we're at this time of year.
You know, we always hear in the word real estate, location, location, location. Is this also a time of year that if you have been invaded more times than not in your gardening space and you have a little room to move around, that maybe you should think about moving that plot of dirt around to get it away from those invaders who seem to show up at the same time, same place every year?
I wish it was that easy. And unfortunately, a lot of those insects, like your ground-dwelling yellow jackets, may seem to be same place, same time every year. But ultimately, what it ends up being is it's trying to predict lightning strikes. You know, they might be in the same general area, but moving that plot of ground or moving your garden isn't necessarily going to help much. It's more about being observant and just paying attention to what's going on around you. Now, of course, we're just coming out of winter and moving into spring, so we're not going to see a lot of nesting activity by those yellow jackets until late June and July. But again, we're looking at some of the earlier insects that are coming out, like your carpenter bees that like to nest in the overhangs of your house, or even more so the beneficial insects that we might come across in your garden, like your ground-dwelling native bees, like your mason bees and your cellophane bees. And it's important to understand that, you know, this time of year, some of the insects that we see early on aren't the bad ones, but they're actually the beneficial ones. And we want those for our gardens to grow and our flowers to bloom and really help nature out.
So years ago on this very program, we were talking about what was becoming alarming, the shortage of honeybees. Have we improved? And if so, where are we right now as we head into the gardening season of 2025 here in Western Pennsylvania in the tri-state? Steve?
Yeah, well, honeybees are still holding their own. Some of you might have seen on the news the issue that some of the larger commercial beekeepers are having with larger honeybee losses than normal. We're trying to get to the bottom of that through some research and testing. But overall, across the board, the overall health of our honeybee populations are pretty well. We have a lot of backyard beekeepers in the Pittsburgh area and in Pennsylvania as a whole, even across the nation. And those beekeepers are doing okay. We have our average losses of 40-50% every year, which seems awfully high. But that's the new norm when it comes to beekeeping in the United States. So, yes, there's still issues on a grander scale. But closer to home, most beekeepers are doing okay. They're losing 10, 15, 20% of their colonies. And overall, our population is doing well. And as we've talked before, it's not just the honeybees that we need to pay attention to. It's all the other native pollinators, like your butterflies and moths and some of the native non-stinging bees that we have. And those populations are more at risk than the honeybees are just due to the exposure, micro-exposure, if you will, to the different chemicals and habitat loss that are out there.
All right. If you have a gardening question or a bee-related question, meaning hornets, yellow jackets, and more, you need to give us a call. Steve Rapaski pinch-hitting today for the vacationing Doug Oster. Our number is 866-391-1020, 866-391-1020. Luke Warner in about 20 minutes. Davy Tree, Talking Tree, Turf. Tree turf is what we're going to be talking about. He'll explain it. I'll explain it. We'll give you a chance to phone in with all of your tree-related questions as well, too. But when it comes to gardening, this is something that he can handle, too, meaning Steve Rapaski. So give him a call. 866-391-1020. Look, I know you like good grub, and when you think of things that are crunchy and delicious and healthy and nutritious, Steve, I think vegetables. So talk a little bit about what you like to grow and some of the things that you really have had success with when it comes to those great nutrients that come from those green garden vegetables that we all like to grow, you know, peas, carrots, and more, including the ever-popular tomatoes. Go ahead.
Oh, those peas, those snow peas and the sugar peas, I grew up on that. My grandmother used to grow them all the time, you know, on the farm that they lived on. And that's always a favorite of mine, getting them planted in, you know, mid-March, right around St. Paddy's Day, and getting that going. And when those things are ripe, you could spend hours in the garden just pulling them off the vines and whatnot. So certainly those should be in the ground already. You know, these early spring greens, you know, the microgreens that we do now with some of the lettuces and whatnot, those are always fabulous. The weather's perfect for that type of thing. And of course, you know, nutrients of the soil is going to benefit everybody, not only just the plants, but even tie it to the pollinators, right? Without the bees, we don't have a lot of the fruits and veggies that we get into. So I'm a big fan of the greens and the snow peas. I was never a fan of asparagus growing up, but, you know, that's a plant that's going to be coming up here soon and sprouting. We'll be harvesting those. So these early cool spring crops that Doug often talks about, your radishes, your turnips, your spinaches, boy, we should be having those in the ground now. The weather's starting to stabilize. We've got moisture in the air, which is fantastic. So you can't go wrong with the early spring greens, Rob.
All right, sounds good. Steve Rapaski with his Bee Control Meadow Suite Apiaries, Luke Warner, Davy Tree, Talking Trees, and just a little bit. Doug is off today, back with us next week. And again, if you have any garden-related questions, especially for those veggies, you can tell he's pretty schooled in that, too. We'd love to hear from you, so get on the line, 866-391-1020. But again, his expertise in bees and hornets, yellow jackets, and more, those things that can really be a big pest as we move into the heat of the summer and the full speed ahead garden season, which is definitely underway this week with a little bit of rain and some warm temperatures hovering in the mid-70s. Going to be all in to get into the dirt and get moving. So give us a call. All of our lines are open, 866-391-1020. And again, you're going to have a chance to get some tree-related questions in here too as well with Luke Warner, Davy Tree, Talking Tree. Your Pratt Pack can do it all, and it's great to have you here today on KDK. Again, our number to dial is 866-391-1020. Yeah, Doug is off today. Steve Rapaski, Bee Control, and Meadow Sweet Apiaries is on the line. Luke Warner, Davy Tree, coming up in just a little bit. Tree turf is what we're going to be talking about. He'll explain it all, plus take your tree-related questions. It's the maiden voyage of Davy Tree Talking Trees, just minutes away with Luke Warner, Steve, and I here on KDK as Doug's enjoying the day off. So talk a little bit about bee control and what you do and how you're always there helping people in their time of need and got a bit of a respite because of the winter, but now spring is here, so you'll be getting back at it. But explain what your company does. Go ahead, Steve.
Sure, absolutely, Ron. Bee control, you know, we're Pittsburgh's leading stinging insect control specialist. We specialize in all the nasties, the stinging insects, your wasp, hornets, yellow jackets, paper wasp, all those fun things that tend to torment us later in the summer and fall. But we certainly do a number of things related to those insects and the control and prevention of that. You know, this time of year, as we ramp up, we'll be getting ready to go here this coming week, as long as the weather allows us to. But we enter the prevention season where we are taking care of customers who don't want those stinging insects in, on, and around the house. So we have a couple of different methods of applying different repellents and whatnot to the home to prevent those insects from nesting. As we move into July, August, September, we get into nest removals and whatnot. So we are certainly there to help everybody. You know, if you have questions regarding stinging insect control and how to prevent those nasty creatures from inhabiting your house, they can certainly give us a call. We can always be reached at 412-765-0335, and we can certainly answer any questions you may have and set you up for preventative treatment or nest removal or what may happen here over the course of the next few months. You know, it's important to understand too, Rob, as we get into these warmer temps, you're going to start to see those insects become active. And, you know, I always have these conversations with our clients that, you know, even though it's warm out, it doesn't necessarily mean that they're nesting. They're coming out of hibernation just like many of us are in Pittsburgh. You know, we're putting on our shorts and t-shirts and flip-flops and starting to enjoy the nice weather, but we're not quite opening the pool just yet, so to speak. So we're here to help, and, you know, we are well-versed in all of those stinging insects. And, of course, as you and I have talked many times, I'm a beekeeper as well. So we also specialize in honeybees, and we could certainly assist in dealing with any type of inhabitation by honeybees that may find your home a little more interesting than that hollow tree that's next door.
All right. Again, Doug has got a lot of things happening at DougOster.com. Plus, you'll get all the details on that Southern Italy trip this fall to Sicily. 13 amazing days. And if you want to be a part of it, DougOster.com. Also, you'll find their information about his tomato sales, starting seeds indoors. And we always get a couple of questions from the listeners, and I thought we would use some of those right now and let Steve jump in and give us his thoughts. And these are all from DougOster.com, where you can send him a question as well. And if you have a question you want to talk to Steve about what he does or gardening, especially those veggie plants that he's a big proponent of, all you got to do is give us a call, 866-391-1020. And Luke Warner will be here, Tree Turf, topic of conversation within minutes. And if you have a tree-related question, you can talk to Luke as well from Davey Tree, 866-391-1020. And by the way, next Saturday, Doug's going to be up in Newcastle for your best garden ever gardening symposium. So for those of you in Newcastle or the surrounding area up there in Lawrence County who want to say hi to Doug, go to DougOster.com to find out details. Okay, Steve, let's see what your knowledge is like with these questions. It's from Maryland. Several rhododendrons that have been at least 20 years old have become very, very large, tall, and wide. They do still bloom and are healthy. They are just so big that they cover my windows. Can they be trimmed down and when? Go ahead, Steve.
Oh, boy. Now you're really testing my knowledge, Rob.
I am.
DougOster.com is where you get your answers. But yeah, you know, with rhododendrons, I know that's always a tricky plant because you don't want to overdo it, just like your mountain laurel and things like that. So certainly, if my understanding is correct, you want to wait till after the blooms are done, because if you cut them too soon, you're going to lose those blooms. But rhododendrons are hardy, you know, and you can certainly cut them back fairly aggressively and have them regrow. But the best advice is, you know, cut them after they bloom, late summer, early fall, as they get into that winter dormancy, if you will, even though rhododendrons maintain their green throughout the year. You know, you've got to be careful with those, any pruning of any type. You know, sometimes it seems like the spring is the best time, but oftentimes you want to wait until they're dormant so that they do come out of winter and have that nice spring vigorous growth going on. So wait till that rhododendron's, done blooming here for the summer. You can cut it back then, and then next spring you'll have that nice new growth that will hopefully not block off your windows.
All right, here's one for you, and it just basically says, walking the perimeter of my house early on now that the days are longer, what can I look for and where should I look at to prevent maybe some of these larger nests from invading my yard once we get into the full bloom of the spring season and summer season? You alluded to it a little bit earlier, but this is a follow-up question that wants to know more from Maryland. Go ahead.
Yeah, absolutely. That's a very good question. And ultimately, you know, when you take a walk around your house this time of year, you're going to be looking for things like your loose soffit and fascia, things that might have blown off or come loose during the winter storms. But ultimately, you want to think like an insect. You know, you're going to look from the roof line down to the foundation, any cracks and crevices you may see, vents that may have fallen off or, are blocked off for some reason and preventing them from closing properly. Can't do much about the insects underground that may show up later in the year, but certainly take a look around your window frames, your door frames, you know, close up any gaps and crevices that you see there, any holes that might be in your wood siding. Those types of things are extremely important when it comes to the prevention of not only stinging insects nesting, but even encroachment by your other animals like your mice and chipmunks and squirrels and things along those lines. So it's important to look, you know, I often tell folks, you know, walk around the house one direction, turn around, walk the opposite direction, look up, look down, you know, get on your hands and knees and look up underneath places that, that you think may be a harborage for insects or critters, gaps in concrete. It's just important to be very observant and very vigilant. And that also comes to later in the summer when you're talking about underground yellow jacket nests. It doesn't mean, you know, just because you have chipmunks doesn't mean you have yellow jacket, but certainly before you mow that lawn, before you rake up those leaves, you know, take a look, stand there for a few minutes and just observe. And if you could observe, you're going to see potential activity. And if that activity is something that's unusual, then you'll want to give us a call and we can certainly assist with determining what that is and if it's something that needs to be addressed.
All right. One more. This is from Ginny, and it's basically something you can handle. Is there any application someone could apply to do some preventative stuff now so they won't show up some of the things that you specialize in, the yellow jackets, wasps, hornets, things of that nature? Go ahead.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's another great question. And certainly there are some over-the-counter sprays that can be applied by homeowners. But ultimately, when you're dealing with these types of insects, often it's best to deal with the have the professionals come out. We have not only the knowledge and know-how, but we also have access to products that are going to be much more reliable, much more stronger and persistent or resilient when it comes to preventing those insects. So you could buy stuff over the counter, you could spray it here and there, but you might not be able to reach that upper roof line, or it might not last as long. They tend to break down a lot faster. So they're good for a quick, easy fix where you just have maybe have a little nest that's starting. But when it comes to prevention of stinging insects in on and around your house, or the removal of some of these larger nests in the summer where they can be very dangerous, you definitely want to call us at Bee Control so we can handle it in a professional manner that's going to last throughout the year and make it go away rather quickly.
All right, Steve, doing a great job. Bee Control, Meadow Suite Apiaries. Doug is off today. Don't forget, always information throughout the week. And great information, of course, can be found at DougOster.com. Luke Warner, Davey Tree, Talking Trees, Tree Turf, along with any tree-related question. And if you have one, get in the queue. 866-391-1020. It's The Organic Gardener with your Pratt Pack for Doug with Steve Rapaski today on KDKA. You know, this is a great opportunity to do the spring checklist, something that Steve and I were talking about. We're back here on The Organic Gardener, and now, of course, it's time for Davey Tree Talking Tree with Luke Warner. Doug is on vacation today, and we're going to talk tree turf, as I mentioned as well, moving into this segment. But before I get to any of that, if you're the 10th caller right now at 412-922-1020, you're going to win yourself a $25 gift certificate from Janoski's in Clinton. So, Luke, before we get into spring checklist, let's talk a little bit about tree turf or tree lawn, which refers to strip or unpaved land often planted with trees that runs along the side of the street, typically between the sidewalk and the street. So give me a little bit of thought process when it comes to those trees, taking care of those trees and planting them strategically so it doesn't really cause a problem with whether it's vehicular traffic or people basically walking up and down the sidewalk in front of your home. Talk about that tree turf a little bit, please.
Yeah, there's a lot that goes into that area when you're looking at planting trees or even taking care of turf in those areas, just because, you know, this is an environment that you know, us as humans have created, and it's not necessarily a place where trees want to exist or would exist, you know, naturally. So Seth is putting the right tree in the right location, so making sure that we are picking a tree that's going to work with us. So we don't want to put something that's going to have a very low, broad canopy that we're constantly trying to keep up off of the sidewalks, back off of the street. We want to pick something that's going to be more upright and maybe something that, you know, could be more of a shade tree, so we can elevate or remove some of those low branches and not have the interference all the time with those people walking down the sidewalks or garbage trucks or, you know, your delivery vehicles. So picking the right tree is the first step in, you know, getting good success with trees in those areas.
All right, before we move on to that spring checklist, I guess the big three, the reason is really to, you know, aesthetic appeal, curb appeal, if you will, air quality, and you mentioned it, shade. So those are three of the reasons why people do this. But I think the obvious choice is you don't want to overdo it, correct?
Yeah, you don't want to overcrowd that area. You know, again, you always need to think about what's going to be coming by, making sure they're far enough away from maybe the mailboxes or communication wires or overhead wires. Oftentimes, utility providers or electric providers will give you a list of trees or shrubs that are good and acceptable to be planted there that aren't going to constantly be pruned by you know, whoever's contracted to do that tree work. So planting something that's not going to grow way up into the wires that are always being cut is very important as well.
All right, don't forget Luke Warner, Davy Tree Talking Tree. You can reach the good folks at Davy Tree, 855-982-TREE, 855-982-8733. All right, let's take a walk around the yard a little bit. Spring checklist, what should be looking at? And can these oak trees still get pruned?
We're coming close, we're coming very close to when we need to stop pruning those oak trees. So everything's based off of what's called a growing degree day. That's kind of like nature's clock and when things wake up. So everything has a different growing degree day. That's a numerical value, so when they wake up. So we don't want to prune the oak trees when the bark beetles that feed off of the sap that transmit the disease become active. So we're pretty much just about done with our oak pruning for the year. So if that's something you're looking at, you would want to probably push that over into you know, this next coming winter. But as far as the checklist goes, when you're walking outside, the first thing you want to do is just look at, you know, what winter has done. So clean up all those sticks, the debris, everything that is on your lawn or in your mulch beds. You know, look at your trees, do a tree inspection, take a look and remove those dead, dying, diseased branches. Things are much, much easier to see right now before the tree begins to leaf out. So we might be able to see some cankers on trees or some old mushrooms that were growing at the base of the plant, or even possibly some egg masses from pests that are taking advantage of your tree. Things are much easier to see now, so getting an arborist to come out to do, you know, a free walk around and a free consultation is a great thing. So you can remove, you know, your dead and trees in the property that need to be addressed before we get some spring storms. Moving into those mulch beds, you can also, you know, cut back some of your perennials, clean up that debris in the bed, maybe incorporate some good liquid humate or a compost material in those mulched areas. If you find during your tree inspection, maybe you have found some overwintering insects, it's also a good time to apply any dormant or horticultural oils. So there's a lot of things that can be done right now. It's a really exciting time as both an arborist and a homeowner that has trees that I'm able to, you know, take care of and kind of do my own thing that I want to there. But it's a very exciting time to see everything kind of wake up after a long winter, and everybody's super excited to just kind of get outside and start, you know, doing what they love again.
All right, Luke Warner, Davy Tree Talking Trees. Every other week throughout the season, they're here. We absolutely love them. You can reach them so simple, 855-982-TREE, 855-982-8733. If you have a tree-related question, you can call us here at 866-391-1020. One more thing that I want to bring up, and then we'll jump to some calls that we're getting in queue right now, Luke, and that is nobody likes to pull weeds, and we haven't even really got the thing starting to bloom except for a few crocuses, and we're already thinking weeding. But one of the things you want to do is to weed early and often around the tree base, so get a start on that, because these trees are going to be thirsty and they need some room to drink, right?
Yeah, it's always a good opportunity. And right now, you know, the soil is very moist. So if things are starting to grow in those beds, you're able to usually get a good pull on them. I know at my house, I'm just starting to see a lot of like bittercress, things like that, that's starting to pop. But yeah, the ground's very saturated right now, so it might even be a good time to, you know, identify some of those low or, you know, areas that hold a lot of water. So again, you can either mitigate that water or maybe think about putting a tree species in that can live in that situation.
All right, let's take a call. Davy Tree Talking Tree. Here's Cindy, Allison Park. Hey, Cindy.
Good morning. Thank you for taking my call.
You bet.
I have a forsythia that's probably 50 years old, and the last 2 years it's not blooming well. What do I fertilize? I do keep it trimmed, but what's the best way to fertilize, or how do I get that back to being healthier and blooming?
Yeah, with forsythia, they're obviously a very early bloomer. Sometimes with plants, if they're getting very old, very tired, you can do some rejuvenation style pruning. That's where you cut it down very low, but that's always kind of like a last resort, you know, before you want to start over there. But just incorporating some good compost into that, maybe even a deep root fertilization into its root zone, and you want to use a, you know, a good, well-balanced, slow-release fertilizer.
Okay, I think I had something called Plant Tone. Is that something that would work? Do you know what Plant Tone is?
Yep, yeah, I do. I'm familiar with that. And Plant Tone's a really good product. You just make sure, like anything else, you want to look at that label, you know, follow their steps on how they designed it, and, you know, apply it at the times that it says on the bag.
Okay, thank you so much. Appreciate it.
All right, good stuff. Good opportunity to get all those tree-related questions early. Doing a little spring checklist with Davey Trees' Luke Warner. Number to dial is 866-391-1020. We do have some lines available. Here's Robert. He wants to talk grapevines. Hey, Robert, you're on the Organic Gardener. Rob Pratt for Doug Oster. Go ahead.
Hey, thanks for taking the call. Yeah, I know, a little off the subject, but grapevines, is it a good time to trim them now, or is it a little bit too late?
I'm not super familiar with grapevines, but as far as pruning go in general, with most plants, everything's based off of when they flower, right? So if you have some, you know, some spring blooming plants, you want to do that, you know, after they flower. The summer blooming, a lot of times you can do in, you know, late winter, early spring.
Well, they haven't been budding yet, so I take it probably be okay.
Yep, dormant season's usually a good time to prune just about anything.
Good. Okay, well, thanks.
Yeah.
Luke, let me ask you about mulch. Obviously, a lot of it's blown away. It's deteriorated. The winter has pretty much done a number on it. Is it important to get it back early, or just you got a few weeks before you have to start thinking about mulching around the trees? Obviously, no volcano mulch up the trunk, but what about the base of the tree? Should you replace that?
If you don't have enough, you should. So I always say, you know, during your tree inspection, look at that, pull back some mulch and see how much you have. Oftentimes people have much more mulch than they think they have or than they even need. So oftentimes you can turn that over, break it up, give it that good color again, but also it'll accept the moisture much easier. But if you are in need of mulch, this is a good time, both now and in the coming weeks, to apply that around your plants, always just keeping it away from the base of the trees.
All right, Luke going to be with us one more segment. Great opportunity to get all your tree-related questions. Steve's going to jump in here with a question as well. He is co-hosting with me today, Steve Rapaski, Bee Control, Meadow Sweet Apiaries. Doug is off, but it's that wonderful segment that we love throughout the year, every other week, Davey Tree Talking Tree, and you can reach them at 855-982-TREE, 855-982-8733. Luke Warner, Davey Tree Talking Trees. More with your Pratt Pack today on the Organic Gardener on KDKA. Yeah, Luke Warner here. It's part two of Davey Tree Talking Tree. We got another segment. We've got a call on the queue, and we also have Steve Rapaski, Bee Control, Meadow Sweet Apiaries, who's got a question for Luke. Steve, go ahead.
Hey, Luke. So two questions that we often get, and I'm curious of your input on this. One is with these tree strips and even your homeowners, we often get the question of what trees can be planted for benefiting pollinators. So obviously with a lot of the towns, we see these pollinator sterile plant trees such as your Bradford pear and ginkgos. But you know, what do you recommend for a pollinator friendly tree for the average homeowner in Pittsburgh? And then the second question we often get is, how do we cope with these trees that are prone to hollow cavities like your sycamores and your silver maples? Because we often get honeybees that nest in those cavities, which is not a bad thing, but it can certainly cause distress to a homeowner, or even you get yellow jackets and hornets that will nest in those types of cavities. So how do we cope with those types of trees where there's hollow cavities that may appear, and how do we correct that?
Yeah, so to start off, as far as good pollinator plants, I always like to stick with some of the native ones. I know one of the real early ones, I believe, is red maple. So they offer, you know, a lot of good options for bees. And within that tree strip planting along the street. If you just look up your standard red maple, a lot of those ones that people plant, like the October Glory or something like that, it is much lower. It is broad, so it's not going to be good for a plant. Or I'm sorry, good for a street tree like that. There are other red maple options that grow a little bit more upright that may fill that pollinator void as well as being the right shape for that space. As far as cavities in trees, that is a difficult one to prepare for and kind of avoid. The biggest thing with that is getting your trees pruned regularly. So having that deadwood removed from the plant can help avoid and kind of prevent those cavities. So think of if you keep a dead limb on a tree, that tree wants to heal over that limb. But unless it is removed or unless it comes out of the tree, it can't actually heal over. So by removing your dead limbs, by removing that dead and diseased wood, it helps the tree heal over and avoid those cavities in the future. Hopefully that helps you a little bit.
All right, let's take our next question. Here is Sam. Sam wants to talk cutting trees, and he's in Plum. Sam, how you doing today?
Yes, good morning. Got me all choked up here. Hey, baby trees, do you guys have tree climbers? I mean, how do you trim back trees, particularly if you cannot get a bucket truck?
Yeah, that's really where we specialize. So we do have aerial lifts like bucket trucks, but we have a lot of individuals at the office that do climb, and they use all the right equipment. They use systems that aren't going to damage the tree either. So essentially what they're doing is they're putting a line into the tree and they're climbing that line. They're not necessarily climbing the tree. So that's very important. You want to make sure that when you do have someone climb your trees, that they're not using spikes or those gaffs that you see people climbing utility poles with. So oftentimes we'll end up at properties where people have maybe hired somebody that wasn't as experienced and they're using those tree spikes to get into the tree. Well, just think, is every time you put that spike into the tree, you're making another wound and another wound and another wound. So accessing those trees and ascending into those trees using proper climbing techniques is very important.
Okay. When you have trees or I've rhododendron bushes have like a gray, whitish grayish kind of a, I guess, a scale over them. What can you do about that?
It sounds like rhododendrons, azaleas, pieris, they all can get an insect called scale insects. But I would take a look online and look at scale insects and then also look at lichen. That's lichen. There's a good chance that what you're seeing is lichen and not actually a scale insect. And lichen really is not causing damage to your tree. It's just using your tree as a host, kind of feeding off of the air. So first determine the difference between those two. It very well may not be an insect that needs addressed.
Thank you.
All right, good. Yep. Good call. Hey, listen, Luke, maiden voyage, it's week one. We'll be doing it early and often throughout every other week here on the Organic Garden throughout the season. Can't thank you enough. Have a great rest of your weekend. Looking forward to an exceptional season, okay?
Same here. Thank you very much. You have a great day.
All right. Now, for more information about Davey Tree or to ask what's going on with your trees, go to davey.com/KDK. Remember, you can always call the experts from Davey Tree at 855-982-TREE. That's 855-982-8733. Steve Rapaski co-hosting today, Bee Control Meadow Sweet Apiary. So, Steve, final minute or so is all yours. What can you do to help people now before we get into the sizzling summer weather and all those pests buzzing around us in the garden?
Yeah, well, as you and Luke both mentioned, you know, that spring walk around, taking a look at your trees, taking a look at your shrubbery, taking a look at your house, and looking at potential problem areas. You know, many of the issues that you had last year are not going to be an issue currently because many of these insects are what they call annual nesters, so they're not going to be active currently nesting. But certainly where they've nested once, there's that potential for them to nest again or in a similar area. So you want to go around and look for cracks, crevices, voids, all those things, you know, pieces of your roof falling off, limbs that have broken and exposed cavities. And, of course, those are things that we can certainly address through a preventative treatment to the house to prevent stinging insects. And, of course, we're always available as the summer goes on for those last-minute pop-ups of the yellowjacket nest prior to having your your graduation party or a birthday party, and we can certainly offer emergency services. In that case, we can be reached at 412-765-0335 at Bee Control, and we're happy to assist you with prevention of stinging insects.
All right, listen, have a great day. I know you're en route to pick up your mom. Enjoy the company, enjoy the day, and we'll do it again real soon, okay?
Thanks, Rob. You have a good day, too.
All right, there he goes. Steve Rapaski, Bee Control, Meadow Sweet Apiaries. Doug off today, but Doug will be back. But you can find out about everything right now by going to DougOster.com. Now, we got a busy rest of the day. We're just starting seafood recipes, crab meat, oh, lobster, and more. And we're going to talk about those incredible haddock fish sandwiches at Coons Market. Frank Dantisi waiting in the wings for another edition of the Coons Cooking Hour. Then at 9 o'clock, more rolls on. 10 o'clock, more rolls on. 11 o'clock, we'll be back at it with the Coons Market Black and Gold Sunday Show. So don't touch that dial. Lots to get to. And speaking of the Coons Market Black and Gold Sunday Show, big championship college basketball heading towards that Elite Four, the Final Four, right? Well, guess who's going to drop by today right after the new news? The head basketball coach of Robert Morris, Andy Toole, will be with us on the program. For more information about Davy Tree, of course, again, that number, 855-982-TREE, 855-982-8733. And remember, organic gardeners, you make our world brighter and safer with each seed you sow and every garden you grow.